Our scripture reading this morning is taken from several passages of scripture, connection with our focus on our traveling as people to the new heavens, to the homeland that is promised to us. Sermon is taken from Hebrews 11, but we start Genesis 12, to which this chapter also is referring to. Chapter 12, Genesis 12, verse 1 through 7, well-known passage of the call that God gives to Abraham. Let us listen to God's word now. Genesis 12. Now the Lord had said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran. And they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Moreh. And the Canaanites were then in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your descendants I will give this land." And there he, that's Abram, built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. Let us now turn to the New Testament, to one of the letters of the Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians 6. Where the people in Christ also are called to go out. Called to go out of an idolatrous world, to separate yourself from them, 2 Corinthians 6. Paul, in the beginning of this verse, have outlined how the people without God is living without God for themselves. And then we read in verse 11 that Paul says, "And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All these things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Foods for the stomach, and stomach for the foods, but God will destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body." And I see that I now read from the first letter of the Corinthians, verse 6. Also that pertains to the life in the world from which we have to abstain. What I really want to read with you is 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians 6, where we get indeed that call for separation. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 11, we start, and O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you, our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Now, in return for the same, I speak as to children, you also be open. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? What part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Let us now turn to our text chapter, Hebrews 11, the well-known list of the saints, the Old Testament saints that show to have and to live out the faith. Hebrews 11. Starts with a beautiful description of what faith is all about. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testified of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death. It was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelled in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited For the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. The Father Scripture, and may the Lord bless his word unto us. As you see in the bulletin, the text for this morning is Hebrews 11, verse 8 through 10. Let us read the text again. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, in Hebrews 11, Scripture gives us the well-known list of the Old Testament saints. And on that list, Abraham takes an important place. The list mentions more than one deed of Abraham's faith. Faith for Abraham was the firm ground of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, faith only clarified Abraham's life. Well, beloved, in the New Testament, for us today, faith still clarifies and should clarify our life. And in particular, our life moving away from an idolatrous world towards our heavenly homeland. So this morning's message from God's Word is, in faith, obey God's call to live with him on the way towards a better homeland. 3 points. God calls us to go out from the idolatrous world, and to stay then also away from the idolatrous world, and to be a sojourner in the idolatrous world. A sojourner is someone who is just going through, a transient traveler, you could say. You find it in the Old King James Version, that word. So God calls us to go out from the idolatrous world and to stay away from the idolatrous world and to be a sojourner in the idolatrous world. Brothers and sisters, young and old, at what time and for what reason did God issue that call to Abram? Well, you know, the first 1,000 years after paradise, man's wickedness had grown to a depth that everything man thought or imagined was consistently totally evil. Man lived a totally corrupt life. And therefore God destroyed the first world, as you read in Genesis 6. But Noah found favor with the Lord. He received the grace and mercy of God's promises and all his providential care. However, God's new start with Noah once again turned into a great disappointment. With his own family, with Noah's family, sin again reared its ugly and wicked head. And so even shorter than 1,000 years, the light of the pure knowledge of God was in danger of being totally snuffed out again. To the powers of nature was described that only belongs to God. Man became impressed by the sun. He gazed at the moon. He trembled for the dangerous lightning strikes, the rolling thunder, the storms, and the earthquakes. And man started to worship those powers of nature, forgetting God who thrones in the heavens. And with serving the things of nature, then also abominable sensuality became rampant. The worship of the goddess of the planet Venus took place with much fornication and temple prostitution. Is such a world, beloved? Abram was born and grew up in the Babylonian plains and Ur of the Chaldeans in Mesopotamia, a place where most probably paradise, the first paradise, was located. There, Babylon had obtained a high standard of living. It had developed using writing, got writing skills, hieroglyphics. It also had an ark architecture. Visual arts was developed. Yes, Ur of the Chaldeans had become a world center of civilization. And Abram wasn't just there an ordinary citizen. As a big cattle ranger, he would have taken an influential position. But his world was doomed because it was spoiling and darkening the glory of God. As we heard, that was darkened by those detestable abominations. Now the question is, would the holy and glorious God again destroy his world as he had wiped out the first world by the flood? No. The Lord now takes a different direction. Now the Lord shows his glory by separating his people, a people that he now then calls his own, giving them all his covenant love and promises. Congregation, though people time and again fall short of the glory of God, the God of glory separates his own people. He makes himself known then to them by his saving acts. In this case, he lovingly prevented that Satan would lure all the generation of Shem and his destructive trap. For God revealed himself to Abraham, and he gave him, Abraham, the command, go out and away from your country, from your kindred, your relatives. Abraham had completely to leave the world of false worship, including his father's house. Wow. A far-reaching commandment that was. God calls him, leave, leave. Abraham had to abandon a rich world, to giving up his earthly ties there, treasures and security, in order to walk before God, be blameless, as we read in Genesis 17. And Abram goes. How in the world would someone give up everything in the world? Beloved, Only faith is doing that. The blessing of faith is that it makes one obedient to live with the Lord and unto his glory. Never forget that. The blessing of faith is that it makes one obedient to live with the Lord and unto his glory. And so we read, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. In verse 8 of our text we read, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. His only assurance was that God would show where he would live, where he would be blessed. So something he did not see, take note of that, something Abram did not see but hoped for, trusted that he would get it, that he would receive. That way, Abraham left. And that's precisely the nature of faith. It is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Which means having one's life with the God of heaven and earth, having one's home, his true home with God. Now, since we have Abraham as our spiritual father, we too, congregationist people in Christ, we need to make a similar move of going out. Going out. Be it in another form, in other circumstances, of course. But congregation, we too, we live in a world, an idolatrous world, a world estranged from God, where people live for self. In this world, unclean things, think of what Paul says to the Corinthians, unclean things, things which squarely displeases the Lord, that go straight against his will, such things present itself daily to us. In other modern culture, then, we can be easily trapped and participating of serving the idols of our time. Well, we also go to church. But as Paul says, don't be unequally yoked. Feel and be at home in Christ's church. And there fill you with not with unclean things, but clean things, with the promises of God. Feel at home in Christ's church. And though God has given us a place in this world, yet don't feel at home in this world ruled by the evil one. In faith, obey God's call to live with him and with him only. And do so on the way to a better homeland, your inheritance in heaven. So in the first place, we have seen that God called Abram to go out from the idolatrous world. We also read in Corinthians that God called the Corinthians to go out from the midst of an idolatrous world, to be separate from them. Thus, beloved, living by faith as God's holy people, we too are called out. And we have to move on a different way than the unbelieving world around us. Leaving the idolatrous world belongs then to true repentance. That is what 2 Corinthians 6 is all about. And what we confess, for example, in Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 33, talking about fleeing from sin. In fact, when you were baptized, also that call already came to you that you have to leave the world, the idolatrous world. That is a leaving, so to speak, the world of Ur, of the Chaldeans. That is touching no unclean thing. And then what further? So we have come to our second point. Leaving a sinful environment is the first thing the Lord tells us here. But closely related to that is to then also to stay away. Leaving, not returning, but then to stay away from the idolatrous world. How? Look at verse 9. It reads, by faith he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. So Abram's faith then also became evident in a tough perseverance of faith. He arrived in Canaan, but he didn't get even a small piece of ground for his own possession, except, of course, if one will call a family grave there in Ephron as a real estate. But Abram did not even build a house in the land of promise. No, he lived in tents, it says. Tents which he pitched, not just all the time in one spot. We hear that it is in many places, many different places he did. In all that, his confidence remained in God. He kept himself apart from living in the cities of idolatrous people. Here, impressed upon us is that we should not hammer our pegs here firmer and firmer into the ground of this sinful world. Sure, let's emphasize this, that our sinful nature likes it very much to be part of the world, especially when we are young, but we still keep struggles with when we grow up and are older. Our nature is, we like to be very much part of the world in which we live, in our culture, and also in its enjoyments, in its pleasure, entertainment. However, there is nothing better to long for than to be fellow heirs of the promise, things we haven't seen yet, but of the promise given to our fathers. So have your home with the Lord. God's word shows that we need to persevere in faith, also in our text. That means living with and for, yes, trusting, to trust in his promises that the earth will be your home, will be your home. That is, the new earth will be your home. And in that respect, there is resemblance between Abraham and us too. Being children of God through Abraham, we are heirs with Christ of everything that belongs to God, including the earth and its fullness. Now that means that ultimately, our Father's world, our Father's new world, will be our heritage. True, God still gives us a place here in this world around us. Staying away, therefore, from the idolatrous world does not mean that the world doesn't have any concern for us, to us, that the world is not our concern. No, we cannot turn our backs to the world as God's creation. We now too have a responsibility in regard to this world. Remember that scripture still contains that command, fill the earth, subdue it. Genesis 1 verse 28, that had been repeated to Noah in Genesis 9. And the exalted Lord Jesus Christ commands his apostles, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Go into this world. Matthew 28. We need to be fruitful to the Lord and his kingdom. Through us, the people of the earth need to know that the hand of the Lord is mighty. In the afternoon sermon, we also will focus on that. Through us, this church of the Lord Jesus Christ and his people, believers, individually together, through us, the people of the earth, the world around us, need to know that the hand of the Lord is mighty. We, so to speak, need to be living letters in this world, even when we need to separate ourselves from it. But we need to be living letters. You need to have a good reputation with unbelievers. That's also how Abraham understood his position. In humility, he gave honor to the rulers and people around him. He did honest business with them. People could see how he honored his wife, how he treated his family, loved his children, and his servants as well, and how he showed hospitality to strangers. Don't think that Abraham lived a secluded life, keeping his tent door very tightly closed. True. Abram strictly kept away from involvement in the Aramean and Canaanite feasts and celebrations. He didn't want to mix with them in their pagan and idolatrous practices. He also shied away from having family relations with them. And that's why he sent his servant, he sent his servant to his kindred to find a wife for his son Isaac, trusting that God would bless that search because of his promise. The New Testament letters show the call for us to have the same godly life, to live the same godly life. We have to do that first to one another within the household of faith, but also to outsiders. God's people have to work at each other's salvation. They need to walk in the wisdom, the same wisdom also toward outsiders. And also walk properly before them, outsiders. You must have a good reputation among them. Staying away from the idolatrous world positively means totally different lifestyles, fashions, attitudes, by showing the fruit of the Spirit. A clear message is, beloved, in faith, obey God's call to live with him on the way towards a better homeland. Practice that well-known phrase, be in the world, but not of the world. Submit yourselves to your covenant God in true obedience, building your personal and public life upon the foundation of God's commandments. With Abram, know to whom you belong, and know to whom the world belongs. Pray for God's grace that we individually in as church and congregation may keep the freedom and opportunity to be a great witness of the world to come. And that so we are a blessing also to this country of Canada and to God's glory. So we've come to our last consideration, God's promises. God's promises were the secret and firmness of Abram's life. Verse 10 shows that. He was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and building is God. In a fallen evil world where man, without God, built for himself a city. That city will be totally destroyed, oh. The idolatrous world where man, without God, built for himself Abraham, and we as believers with him know that God has prepared for us a city in a better country, is a better life, which will come from heaven and it will last forever. Yet, for the time being, God's people live here as sojourners, or as we read in the letters of people, as exiles in this world. Now, sojourner and sojourning are important biblical words. They are even covenant words. Being a sojourner, then, does not mean to behave as an insecure stranger, though. Just a new immigrant or a refugee who has just been granted asylum. Verse 10 as well as verse 16 tell us what a sojourner is. He is a child of God. He looks forward to God's heavenly city. The city that has foundations, we read. This is his longing. Living in a better country which comes from heaven. A homeland that never will be shaken or moved. And therefore, a sojourner is a transient person living in this world. Someone who is not at home in this idolatrous world, this world that in fact lies under God's judgment. Now, the following needs also to be said and be clear to us. A sojourner is not living in an overcharged, enthusiastic hype about all the things that might happen. A sojourner doesn't, a believer doesn't live in a constant rapture mood. No, like Abraham, a sojourner is calmly living his ordinary life with his joys, challenges, demands, chores. Yet he is always ready to listen and obey God's voice in true faith. And next, he lives in firm hope that God will fulfill his promise of eternal blessing, a blessing that is guaranteed through Christ Jesus our Lord. So living as a sojourner in this world means that we, everyone here, young and old, the children, older people, seniors, we humbly listen to God's word. We receive direction and we long for it. This is also why we are in church on Sundays. The whole Sunday we are busy with the promises and we hope for the fulfillment of those promises. And then we receive and want to receive direction on our way to our eternal better homeland. Especially on Sundays, indeed. For a sojourner, the Sunday is not just an add-on to his life. He lives for his Sundays, for it's a foretaste of the rest in the heavenly home. So today you rejoice because of receiving new strength, for you're walking on your way to a better country. You are living in expectation. When you are in something, expectation, and great expectation of it, the Bible says you will receive it as well. You live for it. Preparing for it. That's then the coming city of the Lord Jesus Christ. In all you do, you witness of the glorious greatness, grace, and might of your God. With your whole person, you radiate respect
you radiate respect.
Respect for God as the maker of heaven and earth. Respect for your parents. Respect for your fellow citizens. And respect for his property. Respect and especially for God's law. As sojourning people to the city with foundations, you then individually, as families and as congregation, maintain fundamental truths of the Bible. Fundamental truths. Now, that is, for example, that you do your daily work unto God's glory. That you have and that you form a family in the Lord. And that since marriage and family are such important foundation blocks for church and society, you need to defend. You defend biblical marriage, through which first and foremost God gets his covenant children. And then, of course, you need to let people know, the idolatrous world, that God abhors, that God hates homosexual practices. God is greatly displeased with an immoral life. And then, beloved, you children too, you know, most probably you know that song, "This is my Father's world. This is my Father's world. And to my listening ears, all nature sings, and round me rings the music of his spheres. This is my Father's world." The question, however, is, is the world around us truly God's world? God's world as he has intended it to be? Is the land around us truly our definite homeland? We have heard, not at all. Ongoing disobedience, a man's rebellion against the Most High God, will have the devastating consequences of the atrocious life of idolatry, adultery, gaming on the pleasures of the evil one. We read it in Romans 1 and 2. Because of such unrighteous living around us, God's wrath will be kindled in this world. In fact, congregation, it is already burning in the killings, the calamities, terrible diseases, fierce storms and fires. Here in that totally disarray of things, brokenness. It's actually the beginning of what Psalm 102 says, that the earth and the heavens will perish like a worn garment. But God, we know that promise, God will change them like a robe. And so, beloved congregation, God's message is pretty clear. Living with him, listening to his call, means that we are not at home in this world. We are on the way to a better homeland. That is a totally renewed world of Christ. So we look forward to his great day with a great longing and desire to enjoy to the full the promises of God. All the promises who are firm and true. In Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Let us pray. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, once again we come to you. Now I've listened to your voice, your word, preached unto us. Father, we pray, confirm that in our lives. Establish that truth in your people, and that indeed we do not live as burdened people, but as blessed people, rejoicing in your word and truth. In Christ Jesus, our Lord, hear us in his name. Amen.